Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, if you've ever had to wait longer than you expected for results of a biopsy or other medical test, you know how agonizing and frustrating that wait can be. Now the College of American Pathologists is pushing back on what they call insurance interference that can negatively impact the care patients receive. Also this morning, winter hasn't even officially arrived yet, and if you're already in need of a tropical escape, but don't want the hassle of international travel, you're in luck. We'll explain. And just in time for the final two-week rush before Christmas, Parent Tested, Parent Approved is out with their official holiday gift guide. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, December 11th, 2024. This is something you don't see very often. Governor DeWine yesterday authorized that funds from the State Disaster Relief Program be distributed across six southern Ohio counties after high winds and flooding from Hurricane Helene caused significant damage across portions of the state back in September. The funds will be used to help reimburse local government entities and help with ongoing cleanup efforts across Adams, Gallia, Jackson, Pike, Scioto, and Vinton counties. But it doesn't very often happen that we have disaster relief funds for hurricanes in Ohio. You know, I mean, that's if you need any further proof that 2024 has been a weird year, just think about that. In Ohio, we're using state disaster relief program funds for hurricane relief. That's just a little unusual. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started. I don't know if you need a little, you know, motivation this morning to get your day started. I understand it's middle of the week. You know, this is the day that sometimes can feel like the longest day of the week because we are at the furthest point between last weekend and next weekend, right? So if you need a little motivation, think about this. A Virginia man has run seven marathons in 7 days. This is not the first time I've ever heard about somebody doing this, but every time I hear about it, I think to myself, why in the world would somebody do this? Frank Fumick has completed the Great World Race. And this is pretty impressive because it's not just seven marathons in 7 days. It is a marathon run on seven different continents in 7 days, starting in Antarctica and ended in Miami. Now, why anyone would run, first of all, seven marathons in 7 days is just crazy. Second of all, seven marathons on seven different continents in 7 days, where you've got all of the travel in between adding to the madness. That is just crazy to me. And why anyone would run a marathon in Antarctica? It's like beyond my comprehension, but that's what he did. I suppose if you're in Antarctica, you'd want to run, you'd do anything to keep your blood flowing and stay warm. But anyway, he said, while he didn't win or set any records, he came away from the experience with great friends from around the world. And he says he finished off every stretch of the race with a glass of bourbon. That was his reward for finishing each of the races. Just a glass of bourbon. I would have skipped the races and just gone with the bourbon. But that's just me. He said he has run more than 140 marathons in his life, and this was the most miserable experience, but it was a once-in-a-lifetime event. Since his return, and I don't know where he's actually from, but I guess he lives in the Virginia, D.C. area. Since his return, he's actually run already two more marathons in the D.C. area. What in the world is up with this guy? But I bring it up because if you're just struggling to roll out of bed this morning, keep this guy in mind. running 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days. That's pretty amazing. Not to be outdone, a guy from New York, Chad Caruso is his name. He has completed his own marathon of sorts. He has now skated his way from Venice Beach to Virginia Beach, covering the course of his cross-country trip in 57 days, 6 hours, and 56 minutes. 3,162 miles on skates. He said, as I skated up to the finish line in Virginia Beach with hundreds of people cheering me on, I couldn't help but feel overwhelmed with emotion. According to a report in The New Yorker, the skateboarding helped him achieve sobriety. Skateboarding helped him achieve sobriety, and he hopes that he can serve as an inspiration for others. So that's why he decided to skateboard from our. Well, it says this is kind of interesting. Now, I'm looking at this and I'm a bit confused. I guess should have looked at this a little closer. The report says from The New Yorker said skateboarding helped him achieve sobriety, but he roller skated from Venice Beach to Virginia Beach. So I don't know which one it is, but it doesn't really matter. It's not something that I would do. But I bring it up because if you need a little motivation this morning, there you go. Those are, a couple of people who are doing amazing things, and you and I are just struggling to roll out of bed this morning. That's what it's. Other big news. This I thought was kind of interesting on the Newswire this morning. AT&T getting out of the home phone business. Now, the first T in AT&T stands for telephone, but they are no longer in the telephone business or very soon. Now they're in the wireless business, cell phone business, obviously. But the company is planning to end landline service in 20 states by 2029. Now, that sounds more dramatic than it is. There are actually only 21 states remaining in which AT&T still offers landline service. And 20 of those would be phased out by 2029. The one remaining would be California, where I guess it's a law they have to provide. But, of course, that law could change. Ohio and Michigan reportedly will be among the first on the chopping block beginning next year, phasing out landline service. AT&T says the copper wire service is both expensive and outdated, and so they are shutting it down. Company also says that fewer and fewer people even have landlines in their homes anymore. Estimates are that only between 2.5% and 5% of the American population still relies on traditional landline service. And AT&T will, it says, offer landline users a system that allows them to plug their home phone, their existing home phone, into a cell phone connection so that they can continue to use the phone that they're familiar with if they so choose. But the more landline service. I have to say, we redid our the phone jack, the traditional phone jack in our home, came into the kitchen. And when we redid our kitchen a few years ago, we just removed it. We took it our home, and I'm sure that there are a lot of homes like this, no longer has a traditional phone jack, a traditional phone outlet. So if you wanted to put a landline phone in our home, if we were to sell it and new owners wanted a landline phone, they wouldn't be able to. They'd have to have it reinstalled because we ripped it out. Why even bother to have it? It was just an eyesore there on the wall that wasn't doing anything. So we just took it out. Kind of interesting. But no more landline service from AT&T. Let's see. And a couple of other items here among the first things you know, need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing protections for the monarch butterfly. When was the last time you saw a monarch butterfly? The population has declined 95% in the West, and the eastern population has declined by 80%. And as a matter of fact, the Western population is so decimated now, 95% decline. Scientists say that the monarch butterfly in the West has a 99% chance of extinction by the year 2080. Monarch butterflies, you used to see them all the time. And don't see them anymore. The Fish and Wildlife Service proposing protected status for the monarch butterfly. They are encouraging the public to be a part of the recovery, and public comments can be made on the proposal to name it an endangered species through March. They're taking public comment on that proposal. U.S. Fish and Wildlife says monarch butterfly, an endangered species. Kind of interesting. And lastly here, I saw this on the Newswire. I wanted to bring it up real quick because yesterday we were talking about trends in baby names as we head into the new year, reflecting on baby naming trends from 2024 and into 2025 from the folks at Nameberry. And we mentioned that some classic names making a comeback, things like Lionel and Maxine, Winifred, Eleonora, you know, these traditional kind of old-fashioned names making a comeback. And Sophie Kim from Nameberry, which is the bills itself as the world's largest website devoted to baby names. Sophie Kim is the editor-in-chief of Nameberry. She calls it the 100-year rule. She says names come back into style roughly a century after their peak popularity. It's a 100-year cycle. And it's a bit morbid, she says, but basically the theory is that names start to feel fresh again once we no longer know people who have those names. So as that population dies out that had those where those names were popular, that population dies out, those names once again seem fresh and new in this 100-year cycle. And it does kind of bear itself out. Back in the 1920s, so about 100 years ago, the top names for girls were Mary, Dorothy, and Helen. The top names for boys, Robert, John, and James. And you're seeing those names more this year in the trends than you have in decades past. By the 1950s, top names for girls were Mary, Linda, Patricia. For boys, James, Michael, and Robert. In the 1980s, there were a lot of Jennifers running around and Jessicas and Amandas. And for boys, Michael, Matthew, and Christopher. My name is Christopher. Wasn't born in the 80s, was born in the 60s, but, you know, there were a lot of Christophers in my class in the 80s. We had a lot of Christophers. In the 2000s, Emily, Madison, and Emma. For girls, Jacob, Michael, and Joshua, popular for boys. And in the 2010s, so about a decade ago, you had a lot of Emmas, Olivias, and Sophias. And for boys, a lot of Noahs, Liams, and Masons. So again, these things will come back around in about 100 years as they, you know, continue to, as the trends ebb and flow. They fall out of favor and then come back into, it's like a little roller coaster with baby names. Just kind of interesting there. So kind of a follow-up to something we were talking about yesterday. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy and windy tonight with wind chills around zero. Despite strong public opposition, fracking has been approved to be carried out at a state park and a wildlife area in three counties in eastern Ohio.
An Ohio commission approved hundreds of acres in Salt Fork State Park, northeast of Cambridge, for fracking. The record reflects that all but three public comments submitted before the decision was made opposed the fracking designation. In addition, portions of Egypt Valley Wildlife Area and property in adjacent Monroe County were also approved for fracking. Opponents say the state is actively industrializing pristine public land.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Get more in this story on our website. Officials in Wood County say ransomware has been detected in their government computer network. In response, the commissioner's office contacted law enforcement as well as nationally recognized third-party cybersecurity and data forensics consultants with whom the county is now working. The Wood County commissioners say they're grateful to have some of the industry's top experts helping guide the county in its response and will keep the community informed as updates become available. Get more in this story on our website. a new development in the case of a church that's been housing people with nowhere else to go.
The lawsuit against O'Brien Church takes a turn. The District Court of Appeals has issued a temporary stay in the suit against Dad's Place, which had been allowing homeless people to shelter within the church. This comes as the Williams County Court of Common Pleas had ordered the church to evict homeless people until it resolves alleged fire and zoning code violations.
WTOL 11's Melissa Andrews reporting. The Tiffin Police Department says its beloved school resource canine Scout paid a visit to students at the middle school. The police department says Scout got a lot of pets from the smiling school kids, and these interactions are about more than just fun. They help foster strong relationships between the department and the youth in the community. See a picture of Scout interacting with the school kids in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So our cover story this morning, at the risk of coming off sounding a little tone deaf after the brutal, cold-blooded murder of the CEO of United Healthcare last week in New York City, it's very disturbing that the alleged killer in this case has become something of a folk hero among some people who have legitimate gripes with the state of the healthcare system and the healthcare insurance industry in this country. In fact, it was kind of interesting. The prosecutor in the case, when they announced the arrest of the suspect, made it a point to say that this is not a hero. This is not a hero. There are people who do have legitimate gripes and legitimate concerns and legitimate issues with the insurance industry, but this is not a hero. This is not someone that we should be celebrating. But all of that being said, it certainly has brought to the fore once again all of the concerns over everything that is wrong with the healthcare insurance industry in this country. And obviously, healthcare insurance companies are there to make a profit or at least not go bankrupt. And the cost of care is always increasing. But the ways in which insurance companies have come up with to control some of those costs are issues of concern, and they have impacted real people's lives. And some of the stories that people have been sharing over the past several days have been, you know, really heartbreaking in some cases. Here is, maybe this is in some cases, I guess it could be a life-threatening situation. If you have ever had to wait longer than you expected for results of a biopsy or other medical test, you know how agonizing and frustrating that wait can be. It is easy to blame the doctor or the lab, but the issue in this case, again, may be your medical insurance. Dr. Teresa Emery of the College of American Pathologists is with us this morning, and you say it is not unusual for what you call insurance interference to disrupt patient care and negatively impact that critical relationship between patients and their doctors. How so?
Well, patients go to their doctor for a diagnosis and a treatment plan, and patients want their insurance to pay for their medical care. They don't want it to control it. And so what we're seeing is insurance is increasingly interfering with the patient-doctor relationship by dictating or mandating that if they have a tissue biopsy or blood work done, that those tissues need to be sent to a specific lab and not stay in the local care community where the patient sought the care in the first place. So insurance companies are mandating that all the patient's biopsies that are taken in the doctor's office are sent to a particular lab. It could be hundreds or thousands of miles away and out of state, rather than letting that specimen stay in the local community where the patient receives their care. So it's really what we call fracturing the care. And it's a big deal because, one, it delays the diagnosis, and two, it disrupts that relationship between the doctor taking the biopsy, the pathologist that would diagnose it in the community, and then that whole care team, for example, if a patient had a biopsy of their breast from an abnormal mammogram. Mm-hmm. If the biopsy has to leave the area and go somewhere else, then when the diagnosis of cancer is made, there's a disconnect between the local care team and that specimen that's been sent out of state. And it can really impact care.
Yeah. So to be clear, your biggest concern is with the time element here. I mean, you're not saying that these laboratories that they are being sent to for analysis are in some way substandard.
Oh, absolutely not. But on the other hand, the time isn't just that the specimen has to go away. If all of the insurance patients' biopsies have to go there, then the pathologists at those laboratories that have to make the diagnosis, there's just too many. The volume's too high.
But it's
not just the time. The other thing is, for example, if a patient, as I mentioned, had breast cancer, that biopsy actually has to be sent back to the hospital where the patient will ultimately undergo their breast surgery to remove the rest of the cancer and re-diagnosed by the local pathologist, which is going to even delay care more. It can be weeks. And I have had patients where the delay in the diagnosis has led to them to have another biopsy because it's taking too long and the tumor is growing and spreading.
Now, the College of American Pathologists recently issued a report on addressing this problem. What solutions do you propose and what are the consequences if nothing is done?
Right. So the College of American Pathologists really recommends insurance policies ensure that they contract with enough local pathologists and laboratories, because that's really in the best interest of the patient and not just for the hospital-based diagnoses. In other words, within the whole care team, if you go and have a biopsy at your doctor's office, but if you need surgery, you're going to go across the street to the hospital, you want that local pathologist to be, even if they're in network at this point, the insurance companies are not letting the outpatient material go to that local pathologist. So ensuring that that is allowed. And that's called network adequacy. Because really, we want to focus on that whole coordinated care model. You know, in the U.S., we're unique in how coordinated we try to keep care. But this mandate that the biopsies be sent away from that care team is very disruptive to what we're all trying to achieve, which is healthiest outcomes. We also really are calling for insurers to clearly disclose this, their laboratory and reimbursement policies, so patients can understand. Because in fact, patients really don't know this is happening until they have a problem or a delay in diagnosis.
To be fair, the insurance companies will say that this is one way of keeping costs in check, and the rising cost of every aspect of medical care, including the cost of various tests and so on, is well documented and far outpacing inflation. There is some validity to that argument, is there not?
Well, I would question that, wouldn't I? Because if you look at the profits over the years, the insurance companies are making profits in some of them $16 billion a year. And yet our insurance costs go up and payments to hospitals and doctors have gone down. So saving money is not necessarily for patients' help, but actually for the bottom line of the stockholders.
You are encouraging patients and healthcare providers to advocate for these better insurance practices to help ensure more timely and effective care. How?
So what we really are hoping for, the CAP is really trying to advocate for this so that patients will be able to have more control over where the diagnosis is between the doctor and the patient. Where's the best place for that diagnosis to occur? So the patients need to understand better when they go to the doctor, where's my specimen going to go? And understand their own insurance policy. And also, when they find that what they're seeing is unacceptable, let their doctor and their insurance aware and tell their story. We also really want, you know, we encourage patients and other doctors to support any kind of legislative or policy efforts aimed at fair and transparent insurance practices. It's most important that at the end of the day, we have the best outcomes and that the patient is the center of the care, not the insurer.
Again, Dr. Teresa Emery is with the College of American Pathologists. Real quickly, where do folks get more information?
They can go to cap.org. and search the term insurer interference, and they will find several resources to better understand this issue. Or you can go to cap.org/interference.
again, an issue that a lot of people probably don't even know is going on. Dr. Emery, thanks very much for shedding some light on it. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Well, suddenly it is cold again. Kind of nice past couple of days with milder temperatures and all of that, but back into the deep freeze, sub-freezing temperatures and wind chills down into the teens. And tomorrow, the forecast, we may not even get out of the teens for an actual high. I don't even want to think about what the wind chill is going to be like. So couldn't we all use a tropical getaway right about this time of year, right about now? You know, you're thinking, I got to get out of this cold. Well, if you are dreaming of a Caribbean escape, but you don't want to go through the hassle of passports and immigration and customs and all of that, we have the perfect spot for you, courtesy of Brian Kelly with us this morning. He is the founder of The Points Guy, and you say that Puerto Rico is the answer.
Puerto Rico, I don't even know how many times I've been here, but it never fails. And as you mentioned, the convenience factor alone is critical. I travel now. I've got a two-year-old. So anyone who travels with kids knows you try to minimize the time in airports, on planes, and there's nothing worse than a long flight and then an immigration line.
Yeah.
And in Puerto Rico, we were out of the airport in 6 minutes, and we were in San Juan in 15 minutes at our beautiful hotel by the beach.
So there you go.
Convenience-wise, Puerto Rico is just amazing. And they're also, you know, on the U.S. dollar, and your U.S. phone plan will work. No roaming, so hassle-free.
That is a big thing, too. I hadn't even thought about that, but that is a big plus as well. So imagine that I have never been to Puerto Rico, because I've never been to Puerto Rico. What makes this unique from other, I mean, outside of what you were just saying, what makes this unique from other Caribbean destinations? Talk about the history, the culture, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So first of all, you know, it's a part of the United States, U.S. justice system. It's safe to explore. There's a lot of places you'll go in the Caribbean where you're advised don't leave the hotel. That's not Puerto Rico. Here, it's completely normal to rent a car, drive around, and, you know, I'll get into in a little bit. It's just there's so much to do on the island. It's more than just a beach vacation where you'll read a book. Well, certainly you can do that. But the history of the island is incredible. Old San Juan is over 500 years old. So if you love architecture, if you love exploring cities where you can take historical tours, there's so much history here. You know, Puerto Rico has been a hub of activity for many, many years. So I like it because when I'm in Puerto Rico, especially in Old San Juan, I feel like I'm transported in time. And to me, that's what travel's about. And I'll say Puerto Ricans love tourists. There's a saying, live Boricua here, which means like live their lifestyle while you're here. You will be embraced here. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of destinations where tourism and locals are at odds and you feel that tension.
Yeah.
It's the opposite here. You actually feel, I know a lot of people come to Puerto Rico and say, I want to move there. I felt so at home.
Yeah. You also talk about it. It's kind of funny. You were talking about how, I mean, you can just have a relaxing beach vacation and do nothing, which is fine. But if you are more the adventurous type, Puerto Rico has lots to offer there as well.
Totally. I was blown away. You know, a lot of Caribbean islands are flat dots of sand, beautiful beaches, but you can get bored pretty quickly doing that. So Puerto Rico is cool that it's the only national rainforest in the United States is on Puerto Rico, El Yunque. So you can go hiking, zip lining. I mean, the photography, the wildlife. And there's also really, really unique to Puerto Rico. There are only 5 bioluminescent bays in the entire world, and 3 of them are in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
And even one of them, you can swim in it. So think of this at night. You're in a glowing blue bioluminescent bay, learning about the ecosystem, you know, especially if you're with your kids. I mean, that's an experience you take with you forever. And then being able to swim in it. So, you know, there's also, you know, people don't realize on the west coast of Puerto Rico, amazing surfing in the town of Rincon. It's a really cool surf town that's got a whole different vibe. So, and then outside of San Juan, there are 2 really beautiful resorts, the Ritz-Carlton in Dorado, which I think is probably the nicest hotel in the Caribbean with, for sure, the best spa. So if adventure travel, if you're like, yeah, I don't want to hike, but I want to go to the spa, Puerto Rico has that too. And then the St. Regis Bahia Beach is beautiful. I've stayed at that property. And of course, both of those, you can use your points. So it's a great island to explore, but you can use points on flights and hotels so you can, you know, spend more exploring and doing the things you love.
Yeah. You were talking about the slogan or the mindset of embracing the culture while you were there. No better way to do that than with the food. And there is some incredible food and some incredible award-winning chefs on the island.
Oh, yeah. The Puerto Rico has a James Beard award-winning chef. With that, that is extremely difficult to vet. And that goes to the most inventive, up-and-coming chefs. And there is a whole scene of that going on here. So, you know, if you like to explore different cuisines, and as I alluded to before, I mean, Puerto Rico is a blend of cultures, and they embrace that. There's the Afro-Puerto Rican blend, and you see that in the people and the culture and food, nightlife, and dining. So I'm staying at the Condado Vanderbilt, which is one of the most beautiful hotels here in San Juan, and they've got a restaurant, 1919, that is super inventive cuisine. You can have your kind of five-star fine dining all the way down to tons of mom and pop shops to get local cuisine. So it's just a really, there's so many layers to peel back in Puerto Rico. It is not sort of your cookie cutter destination where the resort is the only place you'll go.
Yeah. And again, to circle back to where we started, U.S. territory. So you don't have to deal with all of the rigmarole of passports and everything that goes into that as well. So easy to get to. As you were mentioning, just to underscore once again, talk about the best ways to use your points, your miles, your rewards programs for that tropical vacation that folks are dreaming of.
Yeah. So the good thing too, because, you know, airfare is based on supply and demand, and there is a ton of supply, meaning there's Puerto Rico is the most flown to island in the Caribbean from the mainland U.S. So there's, you know, I live in New York and there's 160 flights a week. You can fly at any time of day. So there's really great deals, and a lot of the low cost carriers fly to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So I was checking from Ohio. There are multiple cities with $65 one-way fares to San Juan this winter during peak season.
Wow.
So, you know, when the fares are that cheap, I recommend just buying them. But there's a website called point.me, and it's a tool that will let you redeem your points. So you can put in your home airport and date you want to travel, and it'll tell you, hey, if you've got Amex points or Chase points, transfer to this partner. It gives you the best way to use your points. And like I said before, there's beautiful luxury hotels, family hotels, all with the big hotel chains, so you can use your points. And with Marriott, of which there are a ton of hotels here, just remember the fifth night is free when you use points. So I recommend staying at least five nights, even though you can do Puerto Rico in a long weekend. But I recommend at least five, ideally seven nights in Puerto Rico if it's your first time.
Or, as some folks would like to do, you can just stay. And just
exactly,
do that one.
But if you're one of those people, those points hoarders, and I know there are points hoarders out there listening who have these points that keep accruing and saying, oh, I'll use them later.
Yeah.
Use them now, especially in the winter when you need to defrost. I'm telling you, a quick trip to Puerto Rico will be good for your mental health to get through our winters.
Again, Brian Kelly is founder of The Points Guy with us this morning. Brian, where do we go to get more information?
Yeah, to help plan your dream trip to Puerto Rico, go to discoverpuertorico.com. And for all of the best travel deals, go to thepointsguide.com.
Brian, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Safe travels.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
The all clear is being given after the Northwest Ohio Bomb Squad was called to the Bennett Venture Academy School in Toledo after officials say an 8-year-old student brought a hand grenade to school for show and tell. Wow. There's another story. It seems like we have had an awful lot of stories of late in the news about explosive military ordnance being found in unusual places. And here's an 8-year-old brought a hand grenade in for show and tell. Upon discovering the grenade, the bomb squad was called to the school. It was found to not be active, but it was removed nonetheless to be safely disposed of. Wow. Hand grenade to school. Look what I brought for show and tell. Yikes. Elsewhere in the broken news, a Utah man is facing charges for an incident that happened in Sandy, Utah on Monday. Okay, so the suspect, and I don't have this person's name, bought a vehicle at a local Mazda dealership there on Monday. Sandy, Utah. Bought a vehicle. It was a used vehicle. It was sold as is. He left the car dealership, and no sooner did he get just a mile down the road or whatever, he noticed some type of mechanical issue and returned, wanting to return the vehicle. I mean, he just drove it off the lot and all of a sudden check engine light comes on or whatever. And he says, okay, I want to return this. He was told, however, that he would not get a refund. He could not return it and get a refund because the car was sold as is. That's what as is means. And so he responded by doing what I think any reasonable person would do. He allegedly drove the car into the storefront of the dealership. He smashed the car into the showroom. No injuries were reported, and the man now faces charges of criminal mischief and reckless endangerment, and still didn't get a refund. Drove the vehicle intentionally right into the showroom, literally. That'll teach him. Just about everybody has an experience buying a lemon that, you know, we've thought about doing that, but this guy actually did it. Let's see. Speaking of crashing, in this case, wedding crashers, a couple in Milwaukee tracked down the wedding crashers who showed up at their wedding reception recently. They only discovered that there were wedding crashers at the party when they were going through the photos from their photo booth, which is really popular receptions. Now you go to a wedding reception, there's a photo booth. You can take, you know, pictures and so on. And those pictures then are shared with the bride and groom later. Danny and Daisy Stino were looking through those photos from their photo booth and found two women that they didn't recognize. So they took to social media for help, saying, "We're not even mad. Genuinely, we're not even mad. We hope you had fun. And honestly, we just want to meet you and hear your story." After almost 2 million views, best friends Valerie and Gracelyn came forward as the wedding crashers. They said they had no plans that evening, so they decided to crash a wedding. They'd never done it before, didn't have anything to do, so they were like, let's crash a wedding. And so that's what they did. The Stinos, Danny and Daisy, promised that when they get married sometime in the future, that they'll be there to crash their wedding in return. which seems fair. That does seem fair. But take your wedding crashers and turn them into lifelong friends. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, a woman in Long Island, New York, is being charged with practicing unlicensed dentistry from the kitchen of her apartment. Unlicensed dentistry in the kitchen of her apartment. The Nassau County District Attorney says a victim contacted her office in July after Gladys Serrano told her that five of her teeth needed to be extracted and proceeded to pull the teeth right there in the kitchen of her apartment. That should have been your first clue. I don't know. If I had been crazy enough to go to somebody who's practicing dentistry in their apartment, in the kitchen of their apartment, she reported it to the authorities. The woman in question, Ms. Serrano, has pleaded not guilty. She is due back in court next month. If convicted, she could get 4 years in prison. Just 4 years, which seems a little light for practicing unlicensed dentistry in your apartment. Why would you? That should be your first clue. If you're meeting your dentist in their the kitchen of their apartment, maybe not everything is on the up and up. Might want to get a second opinion. Yeah. This is a crazy story. I saw this on the Newswire. There was a company called Embodied, which was making an AI robot targeted at kids. This was for children. It was a robot named Moxie designed to interact with the little ones using artificial intelligence. Here's the problem. And apparently they sold quite a few of these AI robots. With the holidays coming, maybe people bought these thinking they'd give them to the kids for Christmas. Here's the problem. The company has now closed. Company has gone bankrupt. And so kids might have to say goodbye to their cute interactive friend. The kids have gotten attached to this robot, emotionally attached to this AI robot. Parents recently received an email from the company with suggestions on how they can gently break the news that their robot might soon die because it's not going to get updates from the company because the company is out of business. One Moxie user recently begged someone else to take over support for the product, saying, "This is so sad that this is happening. It feels like the end of a Pixar movie." Can you imagine now you have to sit down your kids and explain that your robot is going to die? First world problems, I know, but still, that could be rather traumatic. And finally, in the broken news this morning from the International File, a man in Rome now has gotten his job back as a bus driver after he was fired for violating his company's sick day policy. The man told his employer he was unable to come into work because he was recovering from panic attacks, suffered from anxiety. But detectives hired by the company found him at a wine bar singing and playing the piano. He was moonlighting as a piano player at a wine bar. But he sued, protesting his firing, and now Italy's Supreme Court has ordered him reinstated, stating that his performance might have helped his recovery from his anxiety. And they pointed out that his moonlighting job at the wine bar took place after working hours. The judges said that you cannot do something that will hinder your recovery while you're off sick, like you can't go skiing or something like that. Or playing sports if you reportedly have a broken leg. But performing in a wine bar while under stress is a different matter entirely. So they've ordered him to get his job back with his original employer. Well, it's crazy. There you go. That is today's broken news report. I don't think that would fly in this country. Maybe in Italy, and I don't know that would fly in this country. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update of the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
A Christmas card from our family at WFIN to you and yours.
Hi, this is Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Guardians. On behalf of Tom Hamilton, Brian Motze, and our entire baseball family, best wishes for a wonderful holiday season to all of our WFIN listeners. And of course, go Guardians!
Happy holidays from 1330 WFIN and now at 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Exactly 2 weeks until Christmas now. And how much do you plan to spend this holiday season? And who are the toughest people to buy for on your list? Got results here from a couple of different surveys. Each asked 2,000 Americans who observe the winter holidays. And the average American, what they found, the average American plans to spend over $2,000 this holiday season. The most expensive holiday category, though, is not gift giving. It is transportation for those who plan to travel this year. 64% of those in the survey planning to travel and will spend $846 on average. Those would be hosting the holidays. That is the next most expensive cost, putting on the holidays, spending $658 on things like food, throwing parties, holiday clothing and outfits, things like that. And then gifts actually is third on the list. On average, Americans plan to spend $559 on their loved ones this year, with the most money being spent on the kids and their spouse. And 21% say that their spouse or their significant other is the hardest person to get a gift for. The hardest. They found that Americans will spend 9 hours on average picking the perfect gift for the most difficult person on their list. It'll take a total of 9 hours to find that perfect gift. The average participant plans to give 16 gifts in all this season. The list including kids, partners, pets, and in-laws. 16 gifts is the average number. I think me and my wife, we go way over that. But we tend to go all out, you know, for the kids and the grandkids and everything at the holidays. We can't just get one thing. That's our problem. We can't just get one thing. We have to get multiple things for everybody on our list. But anyway, the most money will be spent on kids, an average of $117, and their spouse, $92, with their partner being the most difficult to shop for. All of this is causing stress. 65% of Americans are stressed about their holiday spending this year. 73% say financial stress takes away from their enjoyment of the holidays. 17% say the stress ruins the holiday completely. 20% of those in the survey think that they will financially recover by May of 2025, but that's debatable. When asked how they plan to pay for the expense of the holidays this year, 1/5 of their holiday expenses, they say, will be put on a credit card. 20% they're going to put on a credit card. 28% have already or plan to open a new line of credit to cover their holiday spending. And Americans' average unsecured debt on credit cards and the like totals $23,554. And 25%, 1 in 4, said that they are not even sure how much debt they have. So, I mean, again, if you're thinking that you're going to be recovered from the holidays financially by May of next year, you better figure all of this stuff out first. So as we were mentioning a little bit earlier, check the calendar. It is exactly 2 weeks from the big day. Yeah, 2 weeks. That's all you have left. Have you done all your shopping, wrapped up your gift list, checked everybody off? If not, we have the perfect stuff for you. The annual parent-tested, parent-approved holiday gift list is here now, with 2 weeks to go until Christmas. From imaginative play to educational games that make learning fun and festive to health and wellness for you and your family, this year's parent-tested, parent-approved holiday gift list is jam-packed with items guaranteed to bring joy to your everyone on your list and peace of mind to you at the same time. Sharon Vindereen is the founder and CEO of PTPA with us this morning. And Sharon, before we get to the picks on this year's list, explain a little bit about what you are looking for when compiling the holiday gift list. What makes a toy or a game or a gift item worthy of the PTPA seal?
Right. Well, here's the best part. It's not even me that's picking. Any product that earns our parent-tested, parent-approved seal only earns it because it's been tested by real families in our community. So these families receive products. They complete a survey telling us about their experience with the product, and that is literally the only way they can earn the seal.
Hence
the name. It's not a popularity contest. It's all authentic testing.
So research shows that students reading more than 15 minutes a day make accelerated reading gains in school. And since this is the building block by which all education builds, this is the first part of that, you have a must-have educational gift for kids this year that focuses on reading, right?
Exactly. It's actually called Reading Eggs. So it's this fun and engaging way for kids age 2 to 13 to learn to read, and it uses interactive games but also workbooks to build essential reading skill. So picture colorful animations, fun characters, songs, and rewards, all of that to keep kids motivated. And because kids are at different levels, they will take a quick online test to personalize their experience, and then they can dive right into a tailored lesson plan. Parents are going to get automated progress reports to track success, and one subscription gives the family access to 5 different programs for reading and even math for up to 4 kids. It's 100% ad-free, and Reading Eggs has a free 30-day trial this month. So that is truly the perfect holiday gift idea.
All right. Next on our list, it says here, for kids with a wild imagination and a sense of adventure, and of course for parents who want worry-free fun as well, you have toys and gifts for maximum sensory and imaginative playtime that are really easy to set up. No tools, no setup, really easy on the parents.
Yeah, so we have 2 great items for that. So the first one is the ferocious Hot Wheels Monster Truck Mega Rex Alive. So it is, right? That's a lot of words, but it is a heck of a car. So it's a remote control car for kids age 5 and up. It has interactive lights and sounds and 3 different play modes. So in hunt mode, it's going to power up and it grows louder and fiercer with every crash. And then after several crashes, it goes into smasher mode. So it starts glowing red and making ferocious sounds, smashing everything in its path. It can even do wheelies on its back tires. And then finally, in guard mode, Mega Rex glows while recharging and getting ready for its next big challenge. Now, for creativity, we have Ruin Use the Joey. So it is a play couch. So you literally take it out of a box, and it can be used as a couch. There is no assembly required. Or kids can use their imagination for endless fun and adventure. So they can turn it into a castle. They can turn it into a fort. Anything their imaginations dream of. Now, parents are going to love that the covers are machine washable. It's water-resistant liners to protect against spills, because that's going to happen. And it meets rigorous safety standards. So playtime or cleanup, the Joey makes life easier and more fun for everyone in the family.
Very cool. And then in the health and wellness category, obviously, as a parent, you want to create the healthiest environment possible for your kids, for your entire family. You have a gift that makes that easy.
I do. It's called the IntelliPure Compact, and it captures 99.97%. of airborne pollutants. So imagine things like bacteria and allergens and viruses and odors, all of the things that you can't see, but obviously impact our health. So by capturing all that, you are creating a fresher, healthier environment. It is, I know you can't see it, but it is white. It is sleek. It is whisper quiet and very compact. You can use it anywhere from the nursery through to the living room. It is a smart choice for families everywhere.
Very cool. And then I love this because everyone knows the stress of the holidays. And of course, for many parents, the stress after the holidays as the kids are going nuts with all of their new stuff.
Yeah.
We all could use some relaxation time post-holiday. You have an easy at-home solution here.
I absolutely do. And this is actually something I've been using for well over a decade. So it's called Magic Bag, and it is all natural pain relief. So if people suffer from things like chronic pain, like arthritis, or sore muscles from an intense gym session, or pickleball injuries like me on the regular, MagicBag.com is your ultimate destination for pain relief. So picture these great-looking bean bags, and they are incredibly versatile because we leave them in the freezer for cold relief. We toss them in the microwave for soothing heat. They come in different shapes, so you can throw one around your neck or you can place one on your knee, all different shapes, different styles. It's actually the perfect stocking stuffer. Everybody in my family has one, so it's great for every member of the family. And when you throw that over your shoulders, when it's heated, you literally feel the stress melt away.
Yeah.
So magicbag.com. It is the perfect, and it's FDA approved, made in North America. So, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. Again, whether we're talking about dealing with chronic pain, as you were mentioning, or just, again, de-stressing, they are, that's a terrific thing. Again, Sharon Vendoreen is founder and CEO of PTPA. Parent-tested, parent-approved holiday gift list is out. Where do we get more information, Sharon?
You go to PTPA.com. You'll find out more information about all of these products. There are more products on the site, and your listeners can actually sign up to be product testers or enter contests. There's so much to do. So PTPA.com.
Sharon Vendoreen, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that is goodmornings.net. You can also follow us on social media. You can sign up for our daily email newsletter. There's an email link there to contact us directly with something you want to share. Again, goodmornings.net is our little corner of the World Wide Web. Check us out online. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.